Welcome to another episode of Living an Altar Life. And I am so excited to have this guest on the program this week because I've been following her for probably 2 or 3 years. And then I was getting my table already at 6 days in the dome. And all of a sudden, this rock star walks by me. I'm like in awe going, oh, my God, I know this person through Instagram. And she's an amazing runner. But her story of overcoming challenges is what just really attracted me to her. And I just, after getting to run 6 days with her, I just thought, I got to get Lindsay Walter on the program. So here she is, without further ado, the famous Lindsay Walter. Lindsay, you ready to go for a little run?
Yeah, super excited. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I'm excited to, now that I've, you know, set you up all, for all of this, I'm excited to let people in on why it is that Lindsay is like one of my favorite people out there. And did I call you superstar or rock star all race? I can't remember.
Rockstar.
There. Yeah, I thought it was something like rock. I was like, I think I called her rock star all week. So yeah, I was the goofball that had all the names for everybody because that way I wouldn't have to try and remember their actual names. It was my secret for surviving 6 days. So Lindsay, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do and who are you and why are you so awesome?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I am originally from Wisconsin, born and raised. I moved out to Charlotte, North Carolina after college, played basketball in college. That was like kind of my sport. And now in Charlotte, I am a run coach and I am a freelance writer. I also have a lot of really incredible opportunities to just kind of share my story with alopecia and running. And that's been really awesome. I also have a little pen pal program called Lindsay's Little Pals. I'm sure we'll touch on that later. But yeah, that's kind of me.
That's awesome. So let's jump into the alopecia, because I think there's probably a lot of people who are listening to this who are going, okay, that's a big word. And what does that mean? So jump into alopecia and just kind of describe to people what it is and everything.
Yes, so alopecia is an autoimmune hair loss condition. And how I kind of talk to my pen pals, a lot of the kids that I talk to and work with, I say, basically, like your body is allergic to your own hair. And so I have the universalis, which is total body hair. So I obviously don't have hair in my head, but I don't have any arm hair, leg hair, no eyebrows or eyelashes. So that's alopecia universalis. And there's also alopecia areata, which is where you can lose some of your hair. It may just like really thin out. It may just be kind of patchy. You might totally lose it, but then you can still grow it back. You might grow it back within 3 months, 2 years. Like you don't know. And so I feel like that's definitely the harder kind to have, just because you don't know like when it's going to stay, when it's going to fall out, but you can still have like arm hair, leg hair, kind of all of that. So yeah, alopecia universalis and alopecia areata, it can happen to anyone at any age. And so for me, it was 2 years old when I lost all my hair, but I know people that have lost their hair in their 50s, in their 80s, teenagers. So male, female, it just, yeah, can happen to anyone at any age.
It's amazing. And so you found out at two that you have it?
Yes. Yep. And so I was born with a head of like really pretty red hair. It's hard like looking even back on baby photos because it just, I like can't believe that's me, just because like I've you know, never had hair for basically my whole life. And yeah, my hair fell out really quickly. Within a few days, I was completely bald. And so my parents took me to Children's Hospital in Wisconsin, and they actually weren't even able to diagnose me. They didn't know what was wrong with me. And it wasn't until they took me to Children's Hospital in the Twin Cities that they were like, oh, she has alopecia. But initially, yeah, they didn't know why my hair just fell out.
Wow. So you went from this two-year-old with a big, gorgeous head of red hair to bald, like,
pretty quickly,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember running one of the laps and you were kind of describing that to me. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that would just, as a two-year-old, that would be a very strange and kind of scary time.
Yeah, and I mean you can't really explain what's going on because you're two, so you can't really like comprehend it or anything like that, or like tell your parents about it, like how it's happening and like all of that. So I'm sure as like a parent that was probably really scary to not really know why. But it wasn't just the hair in my head, it was also like all my eyelashes falling out and like not having any like arm hair or anything like that. So like right away it was kind of like everything, like all at once.
So with the eyelashes, I mean, the eyelashes play a huge function in our life. And so with no eyelashes, how has that affected your, like, does it affect your sight when you're like running and that kind of stuff?
Yes, I will say they do come in a little bit in the summer when I get some vitamin D. The more I'm out in the sun, I do get some little wispies, and it's very exciting to kind of see that. But I will say it makes a huge difference. You don't realize what a filter that is for your eyes. You know, like when your eyes start to water, or just like the dust and debris, or just anything from like being outside, it makes a big difference. And if you don't have that, I feel like my eyes are very sensitive. Like even if it's like the little bit of sunlight, I like need to have sunglasses on just because my eyes are so sensitive just from not having eyelashes. And yeah, so like running super early in the morning, like before the sun is out, or if it is like really windy, it is a really big challenge. I'm constantly like getting stuff in my eyes, and so very mindful of that, and I try to like avoid all of that. And also with that, I will say one thing that I had learned, I would get these really terrible bloody noses. And I didn't understand like why, but it's from not having nose hair. Just because, yeah, just you don't, again, like your nose hair just kind of like blocks stuff, you know, that can like get in your nose and like all of that kind of stuff. And so from just not having the hair in my nose, there was just kind of no filter at all. And so I would just get these really terrible bloody noses as well. So as I was getting older, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Like, I don't understand why I'm getting all of these bloody noses.
Wow.
Yeah, again, just kind of little stuff like that, you don't really realize like what a big difference that makes until like you don't have it.
So you were a basketball player kind of all the way through high school and into college too, right?
In college, yep.
So now I know the story, but you know, we'll tell the runner. So nobody knew outside of your inner circle that you don't have hair on top of your head because you wore a wig throughout this time, right?
Yeah, really since I would say probably since I went to preschool is really my first vivid memory of wearing a wig. That's still like 30-ish years ago. Social media wasn't really a thing. So like I never saw anyone else like me, whether it was like, you know, on Instagram, because that wasn't a thing, or like in the news or in magazines or anything like that. And so it was just a very isolating and lonely feeling. And so right away I wore a wig just to kind of like blend in with all of my peers. I didn't fully feel comfortable with that, but I also didn't feel, I felt a lot more uncomfortable with my bald head. And so that kind of felt like the only option. And it was really hard to wear a wig, but it just became such a security blanket for me. I struggled so much with just feeling so insecure about myself, but I also dealt with a lot of bullying from just like my classmates for not having the eyebrows and the eyelashes. That was really hard. And my wigs, like, yes, they were like real human hair and they were like beautiful wigs and everything, but like, it was still a wig. And so you could still just tell it didn't quite look like everyone else's hair. And when I would play sports, just everything that kind of came with that, it was really hard. I think people were not nice. And so, yeah, I wore a wig for a good like 20 years, all growing up, all through high school, all through college basketball, for several marathons after that, because it was like such a huge like security blanket for me. And I thought, man, if I can just like hide this alopecia and like not talk about it. But I struggled so much just because I didn't have people to talk to. And I was just so scared of people rejecting me or like not wanting to be my friend. And I mean, I went through so much of that, that yeah, it just was really hard.
Yeah, and one of the things that I mean, you know, hopefully people will look you up after they listen to the podcast, but you're a beautiful young lady. So that had to have been really a huge struggle with your inner confidence, would you say? You know,
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, had you asked like when I was in high school or college, if I ever would have considered myself beautiful, I would have said absolutely not. If they were to say like, what's a feature you like about yourself? I would have said nothing. Like there was literally nothing that I liked about myself. And then now it's this incredible like full circle thing that I appreciate so much of my like features that I feel like I hid for so long. I just think to my first driver's license, it says I have blue eyes. I actually have green eyes. I never looked at myself in the mirror. Like I would brush my teeth and I would be like looking the other way just because like I was so insecure and I just felt like so ugly and outcasted that I just refused to look at myself. And now I just appreciate, you know, the color of my eyes. And I'm like, wow, like I like my face. I like my smile. And just so much that for the longest time, I never saw anything like positive about my appearance at all.
Wow, that is so amazing. So running has played a really big part in the confident Lindsay who can look in the mirror and see that she's a beautiful young lady coming out, hasn't it?
Definitely. I think just because, I mean, something to, I mean, from playing team sports my whole life, and I feel like something that I love so much about running is that I'm the one putting in the work and running the miles, and that gives you such fulfillment and you feel proud of yourself, and there's just such accomplishment that comes from that. And so the more I was running, the more I was gaining confidence in myself. I was like, wow, I can run marathons. I can do really hard things. And I think that also started to carry over just into my everyday life, and also getting to the point where I was like, you know, my hair is never coming back. And it had been this reality I like didn't want to face for basically my whole life. And I was like, you know, I need to take control of it. I can't keep letting my alopecia control me. And it really happened after I really got into running, and I just had that, and I had that outlet, and it was just so fun for me. And I loved setting a goal for myself and working really hard to achieve that. And so, yeah, the more I was running, the more I was gaining confidence in myself.
It's amazing. So what was the first race that you did where you did not take the wig with you?
So I did the Rock and Roll San Diego Marathon, and I couldn't have done that if it was like a race here in Charlotte. I think the appeal of that being cross country, I was like, I'm not going to run into anyone that I know. And so that was a big draw to do that. But it was really kind of leading up to that marathon is when I took my wig off on a 20-mile training run. And, you know, I held it in my hand. And for the first time, I just remember looking at it and I saw nothing beautiful about it. It was knotted up. It smelled awful. And I think for my whole life, though, that wig I just felt like was so beautiful. And it's what I needed to be okay and to fit in. And then to reach this point where I was like, this wig isn't beautiful. Like, this isn't what makes a person beautiful. And it was just such this incredible moment. I remember getting home and hanging my wig up. And that was when I was really looking at my facial features and my eyes and just so much of it. And so I had, yeah, the Rock and Roll San Diego Marathon coming up. And so again, knowing I was flying cross country and not going to run into anyone, that was the best thing for me. And I remember, so I like ran that race, and then I got home and I did just like a big Facebook post and was like, hey, I have alopecia, this is it. And it took so much confidence to work up to that, and I was so scared. And there was a lot of people, and the majority of people were just like so supportive and kind, but there was a good handful of people who were not so nice. And I feel like that was something, again, like that was my biggest fear, is someone all of a sudden not liking me because I didn't have hair. And, you know, at that time, I didn't have the mature mindset of that's a reflection of them. But it was very scary. And I, yeah, posted that. And that's kind of how I told the majority of people that, like, I have alopecia and I wear a wig. And yeah, that's that.
What an incredible moment. I just remember you telling me that story on one of our laps, and I almost cried. I didn't, but I may have come close, because I was just like, wow, what an overcomer, you know, to just be able to take that wig and hold it in your hand and say, this is not who I am. An incredible moment. How old were you when this happened?
Oh gosh, I should know that. So that was 2017. Oh gosh, let me do math. So it wasn't even honestly like that long ago. 34.
So you
like
would have been 26, about 26,
27.
Yeah.
Yeah. 26, 27. Yeah.
So 26-year-old young lady with all the things that are mixed in with that and everything. And all of a sudden you take this really brave moment. And I'm just going to say, I've seen your running resume. Most of these people, they should look up your running resume and look at the things that Lindsay Walter has done since 2017. Would you say that that was like the moment you came alive, like inside, like something, did something break loose inside of you and you just woke up and said, I'm indomitable and I'm going to go out and live life to the full?
1,000%. I just think of the person that I was before that moment, just the growth in that time frame. Yes, as a runner, but I think also as just like a person and just like the, I feel like I'm like the person I was always meant to be, like someone who is like positive and who's like outgoing. And I feel like I just hid so much of myself for so long just because I was so scared of other people and just like let people kind of bully and belittle me. And not that I needed to be mean back to them, but like I didn't even have like the confidence in myself to be like, no, like I just have something called alopecia. Like I just allowed it to continue kind of snowball into this really awful thing. But yeah, that completely like changed everything for me as an athlete and just a person and just my perspective. And I've learned and grown so much since then.
That's amazing. What year was the London Marathon?
That was 2023.
Okay. 'Cause I mean, this is I know we're skipping a lot, but this was one of my favorite Lindsay moments because
That's
something happened in
wild.
2023. Lindsay ran the London Marathon and something happened. Tell us what happened.
I ran the London Marathon and it was awesome and I loved everything about it. And you know, I am someone who I never buy race photos. I bought race photos after my first marathon and then after that because I thought like that's what everyone did. And then I just never bought race photos ever again. And so I waited until my 52nd marathon and I looked through the photos most of the time, some of the time, I guess. But anyway, so I was looking through the photos from London, saw this really great photo outside of Big Ben, my stride like finally like looked good. I was like, wow, I look so athletic in that photo. And I just like loved the photo. And so I bought it, my second race photo I've ever bought. And you know, you just run the London Marathon, you get back to the States, you're like feeling really good about yourself. And so I post the photo and I don't even remember initially like what I said, but it was something like grateful I got to run the London Marathon, you know, something along those lines. And immediately the first comment that comes through is like, you look like a sick, ugly man. And for me, I think, you know, growing up, one of my biggest fears was that I didn't ever want someone to think that I wasn't a female because I didn't have hair. And so that is something that it just like hurts me so much. And I just, to me, it's like the biggest trigger. Even now, like I get called sir quite often. And it's something that can be hard just because I don't ever want someone to think that like I'm not feminine. But I think just coming on this like incredible high after London, and then that's like the first comment that I read, it was just such a trigger. And it just felt like such a gut punch because it wasn't like, you know, like yes, they're talking about like me not having hair, but it's like also like my body, and it's just really hard to read comments like that. And I feel like, you know, after you've been bullied kind of your whole life, it's hard to always have to like push stuff aside and like I'm human, like I have feelings and I have emotions, and like no one likes to be called something like that. And so immediately I deleted the photo. I just felt so self-conscious. I was so embarrassed. And so I just delete the photo. I put my phone down. I just went on a short little 20-minute jog without my phone or anything. And I just remember like thinking to myself, no, you've ran 100 milers. You've run 100 milers. You ran over 50 marathons. No. And I think I just really had to remind myself of all that I've accomplished and all I have to be proud of. And it's like, yes, you know, I have a leaner body, but that doesn't mean anything. I know I'm healthy. I know I eat plenty. Like, and I know all of that stuff. And so I just, you know, running also too, I feel like it's like such a good outlet. And it just always is that thing for me that I can just always turn to, and it just gives me such confidence. And I just remember just talking myself into and just kind of reminding myself of everything. And then I got back from my run and I was like, no, I love that photo. I paid for that photo. It looks good. I'm proud of myself. So I like reposted the photo And said, I'm not letting negativity win. And it just went like crazy viral, like 9 million comments, like 100 million views. And I think the amount of positivity that came from that, I think total strangers who, I mean, yes, there was still a good handful of people still agreeing with that guy saying, oh, she's too lean and like she looks sick and all of that stuff. But the majority of people were so positive and uplifting. And I think, you know, I got to share my story with like People Magazine and the Today Show and all of that. And I think just the awareness that it brought to alopecia was so incredible. And it's just such an incredible honor that I get to be that person that I needed when I was younger. Because I know when I was a kid, if I would have seen someone with alopecia, you know, in People Magazine or on the Today Show, or just someone who looks like me, even if I wouldn't have known them, but I would have seen a photo of them or, you know, read an article about them, that just would have made a world of difference for me. And to just knowing that I get to be that person and just bring such awareness to alopecia and like why someone may not have hair was just incredible. And so, yeah, that was the London Marathon. I did reach out to that person and said like, hey, I mean, obviously, you know, Twitter blew up, everything went crazy. And I was like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I forgive you. Like, and he replies back and says, I said what I said. So that was that.
And he just walked on and kept on running.
Pretty much.
You know, I remember the story and reading the story, and that was why I was so gaga when you walked into 6 days and like set up your table right next to mine. Comes like, I just read this story about this gal, and I didn't realize you were going to be at 6 days or anything like that. Even though
yeah.
I had, you know, because you know, I'm really, I read way too much. And so I had read everything about 6 days. I had seen what you'd done in 2023. So I knew you were there. So I knew you were one of the people that I was going to, you know, look to for some tips as we went along, because I was like, okay, she's done it before. She's
Yeah.
about, you know, hit the same kind of mileage like I want to hit. And then you walk in and it was like, I know this person because I remember reading about the alopecia and everything. But let's jump into some of this ultra running, because you're a beast. I mean, I went back over it and I'm like, holy cow, I don't think Lindsay runs and doesn't podium ever in ultra marathons. I mean, your resume is incredible. So where did the ultra running come from? Because you're a marathon. I mean,
Yeah.
You look like a marathon runner, you're
Yeah,
fast
for
like a
sure.
marathon runner. And all of a sudden you jump into ultras. Where'd that come from?
Yeah, so honestly, when they canceled Boston in 2020, obviously because of the pandemic, that mentally was just, obviously there was bigger things going on in the world. But I mean, like mentally, that was just really hard for me just because I was like, Boston, I was so excited. I felt like I was in very peak marathon shape. I'm like, I'm going sub-3, like this is all going to be good. And then once it was canceled, I was like, oh no. And so mentally that was hard. And I am just someone who I just like need something like internally competitive that I can be doing. That's why I love running so much. And so
right.
I had heard about 100 milers and I was like, wow, cool. Like, but I never really thought it was something I was going to pursue then. I think had the pandemic not happened, I don't think I would have jumped into 100s like when I did. And so there was an 100 miler in South Carolina. South Carolina was a lot more like open than North Carolina, as far as, you know, stuff was still pretty open. They were still having races and all of that. And so I just started like looking at stuff and I saw that there was a 100 miler. And so I just decided like, that was it. That's what I was going to train for. I knew marathons weren't going to come back for quite a long time. And I knew ultras were going to happen. I emailed the race director and hey, is your race going to happen? Just because I don't want to train for 100 and then have it not happen. And he's, no, we're definitely going to have it. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. And so I was like, okay, perfect. So yeah, I just signed up for 100 and I loved it. I just, yeah, finished in like 24 hours. There was like a tornado in the distance. We had these like crazy downpours and it was just so incredible. And I loved everything about that race. I think it just kind of tapped into this like a whole new level of mental toughness that has always been a strength of mine, but that was a new level of mental toughness that I was just like, wow, this sport, this is incredible. I did a 50K before, which is not close to 100 miler at all. Yeah, and so I just loved everything about that race, and I knew after I did my first 100 that that's definitely something I wanted to do again, just because ultras were happening. So I just kind of like really pursued that, just because I loved it. I loved the mental challenge of it. I loved working through problems that, arise during that, and I think the mental side of it as well. And so yeah, I just ran a bunch of ultras.
You ran them really, really well because all of a sudden, it's like you did that first 100, and then all of a sudden it's like you just sort of blossomed. And I was like looking at it earlier today. I was like, first. Holy smokes, man. I mean, and you've run some hard stuff. So did this give you a huge measure of confidence as well?
Yeah, for sure. When I go into a race, my goal is never, I have to win. My goal is always, I may set like a time goal or like a mileage goal or something like that, but it's always like a goal like for myself. And I think working hard to achieve that for myself, I'm competing against myself. And so the more I set those kind of goals and work hard to achieve those, the more it carries over into everything else. And it just has been such a great reminder that you can do really hard things. Like you can do anything that you set your mind to. And so, after doing that and then, jumping into a 48-hour race and like having success with that. And then when I heard of 6 days, I was like, I'm signing up for that. And so I think I just love, just the challenge with it. I love working through stuff, kind of trial and error, and just realizing what, does and doesn't work. There's so much stuff to read and learn, but like you kind of just have to experience it to, really
Exactly.
understand like what. Because what works for someone else isn't going to work for you. And I think I've always loved like high mileage training. And so that works well for me with ultras. And so, yeah, it just kind of comes together really well for me.
Right. So your first 48, was that the country mile?
Yes.
And so you finished first there overall, right? Like with
Yes. Yes.
160 something miles, I if my
Yes.
memory's
Yep.
so in 48 hours, which is amazing. So,
Yeah.
like, and then, I mean, a 48-hour is so much different than a 24-hour because, I mean,
Yeah.
obviously it's 24 more hours. Good
Yeah.
statement, Mike. But I mean, so when you decided to run the 48 hours, was there a difference in your strategy because you knew you were going to have to actually sleep a little bit in there? So what did you do to prepare for your first 48?
Yeah, definitely knowing I had to sleep, but going with shorter sleep breaks of just like 90 minutes. I will say the weather was really awful during that. It was freezing cold. We had these crazy winds. My lips were so blistered from it. It was hard to see. It mentally and like the elements of that was like really hard, but I think I was so committed to when I was going to take a sleep break. And I think those short little sleep breaks worked really well. And so just staying committed to that. And I think I just also didn't allow myself to get caught up in what everyone else was doing. There was a lot of people who went out super fast. And I think, again, just, having the maturity and everything to say, like, I'm not going to go out fast. Like, this is 48 hours. And I think that helped me a lot as well. I felt like I could really stay consistent with that, really sticking with my strategy. I learned a lot about fueling and the importance with that. So I just felt a lot more prepared, even though it was a 48-hour and I hadn't done that before. I had run, a handful of 100s, and I learned what I could stomach and what kind of food worked well for me. And so I think that also helped a lot. Something too, I was like, I'm gonna go out. My goal was 150, and I was like, I'm just gonna go out and I'm gonna try my best, and I know I'm gonna give it 100%, and so I'm not gonna feel disappointed because I know I'm gonna give it my all. So yeah, that was the 48-hour.
Amazing. Yeah, that's incredible. So then in 2023, you find the 6 days in the dome thing and
Yeah.
you're insane enough, but it's like a home course for you, isn't it?
Yeah, so I, saw something about 6 days in the dome, and I think I had heard of a 6-day race, but I mean, I knew nothing about it. But once I did see it, I was like, oh, it's in Milwaukee. Oh my gosh, that's so close to where I grew up. The Brewers are right down the road. I know where that is. I know where the Pettit Center is. I've been ice skating there. And so I just signed up. I didn't do research on how to train, healing, and all of that kind of stuff, just because I was like, I'm gonna figure it out and it's gonna be okay. I just loved the challenge and the appeal of that because I was like, what's after the 48-hour? And so when I saw the 6-day, I was like, it's perfect. I can have all the supplies and gear I need. And it just, again, doing something that was so mentally and physically challenging was just really exciting.
Yeah, and you did really, really well your first year, which was 2023, right?
Yeah, the years are all kind of blending together. Yes, last year.
Yep. The third female and three, I can't remember, 320 something miles,
324.
324.
324.
Okay. And you learned a ton and everything. And you said, man, that was so much fun. I'm going to come back next year. And you did.
Yes, I did. I did. I feel like,
So,
kind of same thing after your first 100. Like you run it and your goal is to just kind of finish and you don't really soak it all in as much just because you're like, I just want to finish or I just want to get through it in a sense. But I think after having experienced that, you're like, I know what to expect. And so I think just knowing like how hard it gets and just feeling more prepared that can go around.
yeah, and it was an amazing year. I mean, I'm sure you probably in a normal year, you probably would have finished first or second, but we didn't have normal people at 6 Days in the Dome this
Yeah,
year
that was
because I mean,
awesome.
yeah, just
Crazy.
watching Megan and Minal and Lisa George's cruise around the track, but you still finished fourth
Oh
this
yeah, I
year.
mean honestly, I think my goal was to do better than I did the year before. And so I did that. I'm proud of myself. I battled through a lot of stuff and I feel proud of myself for never quitting.
That's amazing. That is so incredible. And
Thank
then you
you.
finish the 6 day race, and now you've had an amazing summer that's not all about running, actually, for the
I
first time. So tell us about your summer after 6 days.
Yeah, I love to travel. I feel like it's just such an incredible experience to see the world. Like God has given us like such an incredible world and to have opportunities to explore and venture through it and meet new people and experience different cultures is just something I love so much. So anytime I can travel, I definitely do. Yeah, after 6 days that night, I jumped on a flight to Barcelona. I was in Barcelona and Madrid, and then I flew down to Marrakesh and then went to the Sahara for a couple of days, which was incredible, and then kind of backtracked that trip. And then I went to Italy. I was in Sicily and Rome, and it was just such an awesome summer.
I know. I was watching it. I'm like, I'm feeling
I
jealous here.
know.
I was like, dang, man.
Yeah,
So
it was
yeah,
awesome.
incredible summer. But now you're back into training again and you're pursuing some mad goals with the marathon, correct?
Yeah, I have the Chicago Marathon coming up. It's been a shorter build up. So I'm going in with kind of a realistic expectation of like, it's just going to be a lot of fun and it's just going to be a good starting baseline. I think I definitely took some time off, obviously, after 6 days. If Chicago was like a month later, I think I would like really go after a PR. Training has been going really well. I just love being able to like pick a race, whether it's a 100 miler or marathon and just kind of going with that. But yeah, Chicago is next for me. But then I was also really missing ultra training and running through the woods by myself through the night. And so I signed up for a 100 miler 2 weeks after Chicago.
Awesome. Which one is that?
I just love it. It's down in South Carolina. Oh gosh, what's it called? Like right around Greenville. I guess I don't even remember the Sadler's 100. I just liked that it was close. I can drive. It's like 2 hours from Charlotte. Again, I think the mental side of running through the night and that kind of thing, like I really have been kind of missing that. I love marathon training and it's been really good to switch it out, but I also like miss that too. And I think that's something that's so incredible about running is whatever you're feeling like, whether it's a 100 mile or a marathon, the 10K, just, whatever you want to do. Like there's so many races and so many goals and opportunities that I think pursuing a goal that's right for you in that season. And that's like one of my favorite things about running. I am going to run London again, which I'm so excited about it, but it is kind of emotional to think about it. I think of everything that happened after that. And yes, it was this really incredible full circle moment, but it also like mentally was really hard. It's hard to have your name and your story out there sometimes because people are not always really that nice. So to like think of London, yes, I'm really excited about it, but there also is like a small part of me that, oh gosh, that was so emotional. It just is such a reminder of my alopecia. When I think of the London Marathon, I think of alopecia. And so I don't know. Yeah. But so London again in April. And then I'll definitely love to do 6 days in the dome again. But yeah, that's kind of my next year.
That's awesome. So now the London Marathon is the one that you're doing this to raise funds for Make-A-Wish UK. Is that correct?
Yes, because I ran as a Wish Hero in 2023 for them. And so I just want to do it again. I think running has been just such an incredible gift for me that why would I not? I just feel so lucky that I get to run and run, in London. Like that's incredible. And I think trying to do something that's like helpful to someone else because I know how lucky I am to be able to run and not everyone gets to do something that they love. And so just yeah, to get to represent something so much bigger than myself. So I am fundraising for Make-A-Wish.
That is going to be awesome. We're definitely going to put that out there so that people can donate because I think a lot of people are going to be excited when they get to know who Lindsay Walter is. So the other thing that just really intrigues me, so you founded Lindsay's Little Pals. Did I say that right? All right. So tell us about Lindsay's Little Pals.
Yeah, so it is a pen pal program for kids and teens with alopecia or, young adults. I have some older pen pals as well. So I guess really anyone with alopecia, it's kind of really spiraled into this really incredible thing. The base of it is I have always been super old school. I've always loved writing letters and receiving mail. I've always enjoyed that. And so I just had this idea of how can I help people with alopecia? I live in Charlotte, but what about people, all around the country? I just want them to know there's someone else who has alopecia and who is there for them. And I think being able to speak on having alopecia my entire life, so I understand firsthand experience how hard alopecia is. My biggest thing when people would say, "Oh, I understand," I would be like, "You don't understand though. Like you have hair. Like I know what you're trying to say, but you don't understand." And so I actually do understand having alopecia is really, really hard. Yeah, Lindsay's Little Pals, and for anyone with alopecia on any kind of stage that they have it. And sometimes it's really in-depth, like letters that we're sending back and forth, just talking about the struggles with alopecia and like how hard it is, or like how do you deal with the bully, or like ways that you can like do makeup, or what about like wigs and just all of that kind of stuff, very like personal, deep information. And then sometimes, especially some of the younger kids, they just like love to draw me pictures and I love it. And so it's just getting to kind of be that person to them. And I think when I start like a new pen pal, I write them a letter, I send them a photo of myself, and then it just kind of blossoms from that. And it's been just this really incredible thing. Pen pals all over the country and all over the world now, which is amazing. Helping people really in any way I can just to let them know that they're not alone.
Awesome. There's a big event coming up on September 21st where you're going to be doing something I think is going to be really special. So you want to talk about the alopecia areata, the, am I saying that right? Areata? Is it?
Ariana.
Areata. There you go. Yes. Mike can butcher any
Honestly,
word.
if you don't know, if you haven't been around the word, you wouldn't know how to say it.
Okay. So you're going to be the kind of group leader, is that the way to say it?
Yeah, so there's kind of a couple things with that. So I lead the Charlotte group, and I actually had the incredible opportunity to write my story for Chicken Soup for the Soul. And so my story is in there, and it's called I Am Bald and I Am Beautiful. It came out in their book, Tough Times Don't Last, Tough People Do. So with not just the Charlotte group, but with the entire organization, I get to read my story and just do a Q&A. So that morning we're doing an in-person Charlotte event, which will be really awesome. I think for me, obviously like wanting to meet and help people, but I also really want to like connect other people, like have kids be able to meet other kids their age and have parents just so they can kind of, have that opportunity. So I'm really looking forward to kind of help facilitating all of that. But yes, that will be in the morning, an in-person Charlotte event, just because September is Alopecia Awareness Month. And then later on, I will be kind of sharing my story in Chicken Soup more as well.
That is so incredible. So, what's the one thing that you think has helped you gain more confidence in yourself?
I think realizing, understanding, and being honest with myself too about the person that I want to be and how I see myself and my perspective and mindset. I think my faith also plays a huge role in that as well. But yeah, I think just also not worrying about what other people think of me, but rather what I think about myself and what God thinks about me. You know, at the end of the day, if I can say I did something good for someone else, reflecting on my days, and just if I can do something that's like helpful to someone else, I think like that really helps keep me going. And I think also just knowing how many people look up to me, whether it's alopecia or not, and I just know I have eyes on me constantly, I think that really also helps keep me very inspired and encouraged to be positive and to be uplifting, but also to be realistic. I think I also, you know, will share, you know, times where I do struggle with my alopecia, or like if I've had a hard day. And I think also, you know, reminding myself that it's okay to not be okay, and you can have days that are really hard. Kind of being grateful for everything that I have. I just have so much to be grateful for. And I think when that's your mindset of how much you have versus what you don't have, I think that also makes a big difference.
That was one of the things that I really noticed from getting the incredible blessing to be able to be part of your 6 days in the dome this year, and just your gratefulness and just your graciousness towards people. You show grace to people, and it's not like an act. It's not like something. It's something that's very natural to you. And I really admire the way that you show grace to people. And I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but
it does. Thank you.
I think it's one of the things that really makes your beauty shine, is how you show grace to people. So I think it's one of my favorite memories of you at 6 days is like my favorite time. And I never said anything about this there, but when Minal was struggling, or no, it was Fiona, when Fiona was struggling, and you know, I'm coming around the track, and all of a sudden I see you with, you know, Fiona, and just talking to her. And Fiona was really struggling at that time. And I realized that you were showing so much grace to Fiona and, you know, helping her to continue on to fight through everything she was fighting through. And I just loved that moment. And I don't know if anybody else saw that, but it was one of the things that just made me really admire you. Because you're an amazing person.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It means a lot, truly.
So, you know, the name of the podcast is Living an Ultralife. When you hear that, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Living a long, overcoming life. Overcoming not just in running, but in life, in our everyday life.
That's an awesome answer. Lindsay, I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your busy schedule to spend with us. And I'm looking forward to more and more people getting to realize what an incredible rock star you really are.
Thank you so much for having me. It was truly an honor. I appreciate all the support and just everything.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.